I noticed he got it in an old crank. I'd never seen this, you know. And he put that old crank in the front of the grill, that 39 Ford, and he tried to turn it over. Well, that was a hopeless case. He never turned that 39 Ford over, never got it started that way. But from this, I want to give a sermon this morning to you. I've entitled it, Cranking the Old Jitney. Cranking the Old Jitney. You know, in days gone by, the old temperamental automobile was called a jalopy, and it was called a jitney. And you didn't park it in a double garage, you parked it in a lean-to shed. And they called the garage the shed. And I guess one of the great features of the old car was trying to get the thing started with that hand crank. Though my daddy failed, I know that years before that he had Model T's, and of course he was well familiar with how to crank the car. Today you and I like it better, just push a button, you know, or turn the key in the switch and the battery starts it up. That sounds real good to us, and we say nothing to it. It's easy as falling off a log. That seems to be the story of our generation. Nothing to it. And there doesn't seem to be anything to anything that we do nowadays. But I remember reading this, and those of you who crank cars, you might know more about what this man's talking about than I do. Vance Havner now, I guess, is in his early 90s or late 80s, and this was a story he's told about his boyhood days on the farm. I want to read it to you about a Model T. Never will this boy forget those winter mornings when Father and I set about getting the Model T into operation. We jacked up one rear wheel. We put a block behind the other to keep it from running backwards, and another block in front to keep it from running forward. You could either... Self-preservation was not to be forgotten, for standing in front of one of those temperamental jitneys was as uncertain as standing behind a mule. Either could pack a vicious wallop, and the machine age had not as yet improved on our chances of survival in changing from mules to motors. After we had the old gas buggy well set, I never understood this, we poured a kettle of boiling water, it's winter now, we poured a kettle of boiling water on the carburetor. Maybe several kettles of boiling water. Then first and then the other of us quarter turned the crank with a wary eye for a kick that might break an arm. I heard my daddy say that it'd break the arm. If we felt unusually well that morning, we worked up to where we could spin it. Spinning the crank was a gauge of muscular might in those days. Weaklings had to content themselves with the quarter turns. But the local huskies vied in spinning until breath ran short, muscles almost broke through the skin, and apoplexy lurked nigh. Success in starting that old Ford varied. Sometimes it's seen in good humor and caught with the willing spirit. Other mornings it was in a grouch and for no apparent reason was dead set to stay under the shed. Usually our untiring efforts were rewarded first with an occasional cough, then a few protracted coughs, until finally the miserable contraption got going, quivering from all the world like some aching mortal in the throes of malaria chill. By then, we were so exhausted, we were half resolved to leave the thing under the shed and not go anywhere after all. You know, I thought about this story, and today they're trying to figure out ways to cut down on gas tank consumption. I've got an answer for them. Just put cranks in your automobile, and I bet 90% of them would stay in the double garage and we'd never get them out. Now, I believe a Christian can be compared to the old Model T, and we as Christians are in danger of becoming as cantankerous and as hard to get going as was that old car. Look at Hebrews 3:12. One thing the old people did, they used the Bibles well-worn. They knew how to read them, and they read along with the preacher to make sure he knew what he was talking about. All right, Hebrews 3:12. Invite you to read along with me. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief, which will cause you to depart from the living God. You know, the Christian's heart, though it has been made soft and has been given the Word of God, it can become hardened and it can become stubborn, just as stubborn as an old jalopy trying to start with a hand crank. And I believe to get our souls chugging and to get our spirits turning, it's going to take a heap of cranking, a lot more than the average day modern Christian wants to give it. And that's probably 99% of our trouble in walking and living with the Lord. We don't have enough get up and go to get out there and twist the crank. It's going to take a lot of push and a lot of pull and a lot of grunts and just a few good swift kicks to get our souls stirring and moving for the Lord, or we're not going to get them moving. I believe too many Christians are sitting under the shed in the shade, not going anywhere, and the only reason is they haven't got enough energy to crank their old car and to get themselves in going gear. Now, Isaiah was bothered in his day. Years and years, almost 2,000, 3,000, maybe 4,000 years ago, with people like this, you couldn't crank them up. I didn't say they were cranky, you just couldn't crank them up. You couldn't get them to do anything. Isaiah 64:7, he tells about this problem that he was having way back there, thousands of years ago. People haven't changed much, have they? Isaiah said about the people of Israel, there is none. What's wrong with these people? There is none that call upon God's name. Can't even get themselves wound up to do that. Then he goes on to say, there is none that stirs up himself to take hold of thee. We don't have a lot of people today taking hold of the Lord. Why? Because they're not willing to stir themselves up. They're not even willing to get up on Sunday morning, get out of bed and get dressed and walk a half a block, drive a half block to church. Much less you had to give up and build a fire in the stove and then hitch up the horse and then drive 5 miles to church in an old buggy on an old rough road. Man, we won't even get enough energy to get up and get our clothes on and button 6 buttons down the front of a shirt and get in the car and put on that magic starter and drive down here under 500 horsepower. We don't have any drive. We can't get wound up. I believe a lot of Christians, though, do go down to the shed on Sunday morning. And that's what a lot of us might do in church on Sunday morning. We go down to the shed and we look our car over and we say, it sure does shine, it sure is pretty. And we give a little bit of our attention and we look it over and we ask ourselves, well, it looks all right to me for another week. And we dust it off and we go back home. And we leave our old car in the shed. And then there's a lot of people that don't even take time to come to the shed and even look over their spiritual life. In other words, they'll let their spiritual life rust out before it ever gets cranked up. Now, there's one thing I can say in favor of the good old days that I can't say much about today. And that is, in the good old days, people were forced. They were forced with difficulties, and they were forced to have endurance, and they were forced to have a stamina and a get up and go to them just to exist that you and I don't have. We don't have to do what they did. And a lot of us say amen. But you know, brethren, that's made us different. That's made us soft. It's made us weak. We become weak in our body. We become weak in our head. The other day, my wife called attention to a cartoon she saw to give you an idea of the changes in people. A little boy came in to his daddy and he said, Daddy, I can't get my arithmetic homework. And his daddy said, why? Because the batteries in your calculator are dead. Now, brethren, that's about the state we've gotten in. We can't even crank up the multiplication table anymore. We're practically helpless. And one of the common cries that I hear every day almost when I get out among people is that you can't get anybody to work. You can't get anybody to do anything. You can't get anybody with skills. You can't get anybody that wants to get their hands dirty. You can't get anybody that wants to sweat. You can't get anybody to do anything. Our generation has become, in a real sense, a generation of do-nothings and know-nothings and want-nothings. And brethren, this has affected our spiritual life. It really, we're doing the same thing in church. We're acting the same way as we do in our homes. We want instant religion, just like instant coffee. We want just like that, and I'm ready to go, preacher. Brethren, it doesn't come that way. It never has, it never will come that way. And I believe a lot of us, spiritually speaking, have been laid up and we're frozen up and we have been softened up by all of the modern arrays of gadgetry that today we don't know how to do anything. You and I want instant production. We want instant deliverance. We want 10-minute sermonettes, and the day has gone by, they preach for 3 hours. You know, we couldn't take that. We can't take anything 3 hours. We get bored with anything in a few minutes. We want everything given to us effortless. We don't want to do anything. All of us want our water in the faucet. None of us want to go out to a hand-dug well, let down the bucket, pull up the water, carry it in the house, dip it out with a pitcher. Why don't we want to do it? It's just the same water. Sometimes it was better water. It wasn't filled with chlorine. It was better water. Tastes better. But we don't want to do it because it takes some of that cranking we're talking about. You got to crank the old spindle on the pump handle. Get the well water out of the ground. We don't like that. We like our central heat to add. I remember my grandmother. She lived across the street from us, and she didn't believe in that newfangled thing called natural gas. Everybody else, you know, boy, at my house, we had gas burners on the floor. Hook up an old rubber hose to it. It wasn't like you had today, the central heat kind, you know, but we had modern stuff where I live. You had the gas hose and the stove. Just strike a match and stick it in there and poof, it lit, you know. Well, now I'm old Grandma Brunson. Nah, she wasn't like that. She had a cordwood out back. Boy, it'd get cold in the winter, you know. I know why they had feather mattresses now about 6 foot deep. You could sink down in them, you know, to keep warm. But she'd go out there and get that old firewood, bring it in that stove there in the middle of the dining room, put that stuff in that old steel potbelly stove, and she'd try to get that fire going. By that time, I was unfrozen, you know. But you and I, we want our central heat. Just flip the thermostat switch, and if it doesn't work, call the service man. We don't want to go cut out any wood. Why? Because it takes crank power. It takes crank power. I think people believe the church has invented some sort of new gadget that's going to take all the crank power out of living the Christian life. Brethren, the church hasn't found anything. And if some preacher tells you he has a new solution, don't you believe him. There have been no newfangled ideas come across how you can get away, spiritually speaking, living the Christian life without cranking the engine. People say, well, brother preacher, no more than hauling water from the river of life for me. You pipe it into me. No, you're just not going to get a drink. You're just not going to get a drink. Jesus said, seek and ask and knock. That's cranking, boy. That's cranking. Seeking and knocking, that's cranking. We just want to push a button. Instant deliverance on prayer. Answer come. Boom, here it is. Thank you, Lord. But it doesn't work that way. The Lord says, get down there now and you crank out that prayer. Oh, that's work. Man, that may take 5, 10, 15 minutes before we can ever get in the mood to pray. And we crank, and we crank. I'm not going to do that stuff. Yeah, I'm through with that. Well, brethren, you just don't get any water then. You either crank till the bucket gets to the top of the well or you don't get a drink. And then we say, well, no more drawing that water from the well that never shall run dry. Well, then, okay, you won't have any water from the well that never shall run dry. The church, the preacher, the Bible, ritual, just doesn't give it to you. It's going to take some cranking. Well, I believe the Christians today aren't in the mood to crank. And that's why they're out of the mood to please the Lord and to walk with Him. You and I still like our homemade ice cream, but none of us like to crank it. Most all of us now have motorized homemade ice cream cranks. Yeah? Why? It doesn't taste any better. And the old hand crank freezes much faster and harder. We don't like to crank. We don't like to crank. Now, we're all for the old spiritual jitney running. But we're not in favor of cranking it up to get it to go. We want God to crank it up. It's either instant start and effort to drive in, or just spaghetti. You got to get yourself cranked up to singing the Lord. Otherwise, you're just going to sing, rung, 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 and go home. You got to get yourself cranked up to study the Bible. You got to get yourself cranked up to get to church. And then inside the church, you got to get cranked up to listen and to believe and to receive something beneficial. People say, well, God better find himself some new gadgets to speed up this thing, or he can forget about my business. Well, brethren, I'm afraid he's forgetting about a lot of people's business. And the old jitney is just sitting in the shed, and Christians aren't going anywhere but to the rust and the junkyard. I think a lot of people have the idea that God is hauling their jitney around on the back end of his wrecker. Well, brethren, that's not true. He's not going to move you along if you don't want to go, and if you don't get out there and crank up and try to go. This idea that God's going to move you along even on the back of his wrecker is one that Paul had to deal with in Philippians 2:12. Philippians 2:12. Notice what he says. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, now you got to crank up, brethren, to obey. If your wife's going to obey you and make you some homemade bread, boy, she's got to do some cranking. She's got to crank out that old sifter, unless she uses instant dough. Yeah, that's everything to do. But she has to crank out that old sifter and sift that old flour. I'll see my mother do that now. And she's got to crank up, make the bread, put the yeast in, pound it, and let it rise. To get you that homemade bread, she's got to go a lot of trouble. She's got to crank it up. That's why you don't get much homemade bread, brother, anymore either. All right, Philippians 2:12. As you've always obeyed, now if she's going to obey her husband to have bread, she's got to do some cranking. And she said, well, you supply the wheat, go cut the grain, he got to do some cranking. All right, now, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence. Now notice what he says to her. Here's you cranking, brethren. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, before I try to explain this, let's go to one more, because Peter had to tell his flock the same thing. 2 Peter 1:10. Now, remember that one, work out your own salvation. Let's go to 2 Peter 1:10. Wherefore, brethren, give all diligence that you make your calling and your election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Or I might add the words, you will not rust out under the shed. So here we have two things. Make your election and your call sure. And secondly, work out your own salvation. Every Christian has a spark within his life to run. Every Christian has the power. It's called the Holy Spirit. God dwells within him. And you spark that fire, and the Holy Spirit can keep you going. But you got to crank it, brethren. The Holy Spirit won't operate in your life until you kick over the crank. Until you put some of your back into it, and some of your efforts, and some of your drive, and some of your concern, you're not going to do anything. I can say, Lord, give me an instant message. I've tried this, you know. Give me an instant message. And the Lord said, crank it out. That takes too long. You got to read the books, and you got to look up all these verses, and you know, I don't want to crank it out. Just give it to me on the run between here and the house. The Lord said, forget it. Crank it out. Well, I crank it out. I haven't found any other way to do it yet. But it's up to you to see to turn the crank, and then the Lord will supply the rest. Now, this is what it means to work out your own salvation. You set things in motion after your salvation is given to you through Christ at the new birth experience. Then, because you do have salvation, then there is a work that you must do. To get saved is God's work. But once you're saved, then there is a salvation work to be done that you must carry forward. And the easy life and the easy way never has come to the Christian who wants to walk down the King's highway, and it never will. You look at Jesus. There wasn't nothing easy about that. There wasn't a thing easy about the disciples' lives. Not a thing easy at all. There was always cranking day after day, morning after morning, night after night. I think we have nothing to do but hang our head in shame if our spiritual life just sits in the shed and does nothing else. And a lot of us, I'm afraid, haven't used our spirits and our souls in such a long time that the motor's frozen. You and I couldn't pray if we had to. We couldn't witness if we had to. We couldn't control some possessing sin if we had to. We couldn't kick some habit if we had to. We couldn't get in touch with God real quick for an emergency if we had to. We couldn't recite Bible verses if we had to. The thing is frozen up. And we don't know what to do and how to do anymore. You can get in that state, you see. And I say this, if you lose your desire to crank the jitney, it won't be long until you have a jumped jitney. And there's muscle ache involved in this thing of cranking up the Christian life, of causing your salvation work to grow. God will not do the cranking. God will bless and God will help. But God will not do the cranking. And I'll say this in the Christian life, from personal experience, there are times when I don't want to crank the old prayer handle. And I don't want to crank the old Bible. And I don't want to crank the old witness. And I don't want to crank the laws of God. And I don't want to obey. And there comes times when I don't want to turn the crank. And God says to me, you'll only get that jitney to move one way, Brother Brunson. And you better turn the crank. And brother, that's true. I found that. You get in there and start turning. And asking the Lord to get that thing started while you crank it. And you make an effort to pray and an effort to witness and an effort to study and an effort to obey. If you'll make the effort, God will honor it. And he'll get the old engine purring for a while. It may spur later on down the road, but brethren, it'll have to be cranked. And there are going to come times you don't want to crank. That you'd rather sit up and read the funny papers or snooze in bed or do something else. And God says, crank it or it'll never get going. And even with the Holy Spirit's assistance in your life, Paul said this about his, I still had to fight the good fight of faith. It was still a fight. It was still a struggle. Work out your salvation. Let your salvation go to work for you. Work at it, work with it, work through it. You don't get saved by working, but you work because you get saved. And you don't turn the crank by well-wishing and hoping. Anybody that comes back to church tonight is going to turn the crank to do it. I guarantee you. Turn the crank. Father, we give thee thanks this morning for your love for us. And you've made salvation easy. And we sort of want everything else to be easy after that. But Lord, may we realize this morning that a lot of us may just be sitting under some shed somewhere. Our spiritual life is nothing anymore because we have stopped really trying. We haven't put any muscle into the crank, any determination to go on through with it and to get our spiritual life cranked up no matter how long it takes or no matter how many desperate moves must be taken. Help us this morning, Father, understand that there's no such thing as an instant spiritual walk with Christ minus cranking. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.